This is Abby Collins, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get going on another Origins episode. And I'm Steve Megatron. Joining me is TFG1 Mike.
Yep.
And today's guest is Peacon Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah, ain't that the truth? I don't even remember the last time he was on an episode of this.
Of ATTF? What? No. Nope, never.
Yeah. No, well, not the Origins, but All Things Transformers in general. I don't remember the last episode you were on. And the funny thing is when I recorded Optimus Solo's Origins episode for this, he said, "Oh, so Peacon Court Michael has to live up to me, huh?" I'm like, okay, sure. That's the way you want to play it.
It's the competition.
It's okay. You came first.
Chicken or the egg? It was the chicken. Like definitely the chicken.
Well, in that case, Optimus Solo came first. Oh, crap.
I have no idea where that's going, but anyways.
As you've heard, folks, over the past two episodes, the one with Steve and myself, and then the one with myself asking Optimus Solo, we've got 21 questions all about Transformers to ask our guest. And since Steve led off the episode, I'm going to start off with question number one. So, Michael, even though we all know this is an obvious answer, I ask this first question here because in case of anyone we've talked to that we don't particularly know all that well. So, did you grow up with Transformers? Yes, I know it's a stupid question. And at what age did you remember first noticing the franchise?
It's a stupid question, Blanchard. Just stupid. I was in fifth grade when Transformers came out on TV. And I was collecting He-Man at the time. But I got a few Transformers for my birthday. So that became my new obsession. So fifth Excellent. Grade, roughly 11. Yeah.
Cool.
Ah, never before have I seen a more impressive group of lethal fighting machines. And pretty good looking, if I do say so myself. That pompous bag of bolts Megatron won't know what hit him. He'll be crushed in our wake. Against Megatron? Are you insane? Huh? I think I just sprang an oil leak. Silence, you fool. Megatron is a worthless pile of scrap metal compared to my genius. Brilliant observation, brilliant. But your genius pales in comparison to the genius of our leader, the original Starscream. Oh, I could listen to this one all day. What are you talking about? I am the original Starscream. Liar. I am the original Starscream. I never said I was the original Starscream. You just did right now. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't.
Oh, haven't you figured it out yet? He's a pathological liar. Each of us clones represents one aspect of your personality. He's a coward. He's an egomaniac. He's a suck-up. He's a liar.
I am not. So, which part of me did you come from?
Don't ask.
This is going to be a long orbital cycle.
What Transformers generation is your generation Y? Not that we don't know this one already, but...
You already know why. G1. I was around for the original, and I was at a very impressionable age. So I would sit and stare at the box art for the packages, you know, and wonder how I could recreate these scenes.
So you mean to tell me, even as a child, you didn't open your toys and you left them in your closet like you do now?
You know what's creepy is, yeah, I kept a lot of the boxes. And yeah, and although I have a lot of the toys that I had when I was little, my mom threw away all the boxes. She wouldn't let me keep them. Yeah, so for a long time, though, I had Soundwave in the box. And I didn't have the box anymore for Optimus Prime, but I had the Styrofoam. And I would always put him back in the Styrofoam and put the Styrofoam on my shelf when I was done playing with him.
Okay, then.
Hey, don't knock that. Well, I was going to say, I cut the backgrounds off of the boxes that are on like, whatever the figures are, if they're large enough figures. Like, say, for instance, like, the Titans Return, Combiner Wars, like, Megatron. Right.
Yeah.
Where he's the tank and everything. Yeah, I cut the background out, and I put it behind him in my display case, so now he's got, like, this kind of cool techie background.
There you go. And I also kept all of the not the instruction booklets, but Transformers used to come with the these fold out sheets that had all the characters on them.
Yeah.
I had those taped on my wall, so like front and back.
Yep. Oh yeah,
nice.
Alright what other, besides G1, what other generations of Transformers do you like?
It's easier to list off the ones that I don't like.
That's kind of like as me food.
There you go. Yeah. The food groups are chocolate and caramel.
It's easier to list off what I don't like in food.
There you go. So as a toy collector, I have all the toys, except for the Pretenders. So I guess I don't like Pretenders.
Well, they really were robots in disguise, and nobody likes them.
Nobody likes a 40-foot-tall human in a spiked helmet. That's just weird.
They're lies. They're selling us lies.
Lies! Damn lies!
It's weird because I used to not like the... what's it? The Minicons. Not Minicons, I'm sorry. What the hell are those called? The Micro Machines. The Micromasters, yeah. I used to not like those either, but then I went and bought them all. So now I guess I like them, I guess.
There you go. But I mean, like, outside of the G1 stuff, outside of the toys, what other generations, like Beast Wars, Animated, Prime,
what
else do you like?
Yeah, we have a thing for Animated. I really like the Animated series. I really liked the Beast Machine series.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it was
short. Even though the toys were not very good.
The toys were kind of crap. I still like those, yeah. Those were fun.
Yes. So, yes. What was your very first Transformer toy as a kid?
I'm pretty sure it was G1 Soundwave. And I had the first set of four tapes for him. And I want to say, if not at the same time, around that time, I had Ratchet and Optimus Prime. And then followed up, I want to say around Christmas, I got Snarl and the Devastator gift set. At one point, I had a picture of me holding up the Devastator gift set at Christmas. And I have no idea what happened to that.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I want to say Soundwave. Actually, I want to say, if you want to say my first transforming toy, quote unquote, right?
No.
I got to tell you the story. I had the knockoff Soundwave.
Toy, Transformers toy.
No, I had the knockoff Soundwave, the one that didn't have cassettes. It just had like an AM radio with arms and legs. It was awful. And I was like, this is awful. why did I get this? And as a follow-up present, I got the actual Soundwave.
So for this year, for your birthday, we're going to just let it suck. And the next year, you get the good one when it's less expensive.
Something like that, yeah.
Growing up, now this happened to me a lot, and this is just the way I start this question out. Growing up, I would always thank God that we didn't have the term back then, but essentially it's live action role play. But we would always, you know, at school, at recess or after school, my friends and I would always say, oh, I'm this character, oh, I'm that character, and we all just fight each other. Did you ever have an experience like this with your friends growing up?
I might have been too old to go running around yelling pew pew pew. Yeah. But we talked about them a lot. I mean, me and my friends would talk about the Transformers and the stories that we watched on TV. I remember being at school and a friend of mine was telling me that there would be a jet combiner, like Devastator, except with Starscreams. And I was like, no way, you're full of crap. You know. And then Superion came out. you know, that kid, this is awful, that kid was always a compulsive liar. so to this day, I don't know if he was full of crap or if he actually knew ahead of time somehow.
It's a crap.
Might have been just a really good guess. Yeah, he's full of crap.
Wow.
Yeah, cool story. Crazy. Bro.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't make me do that!
Too late to stop now!
He dared attack me! Destroy him!
Wait, mighty Galvatron! He is not a traitor! He's only malfunctioning!
Get out of here! Leave me alone!
Not on your life!
Good! Drop your weapon!
There is no reasoning with him! Destroy him! He's lost his mind!
Galvatron! It's not me! I mean, I'm not myself!
Do you really think he's going to believe you?
Destroy him!
No! Don't shoot!
What madness has possessed Scourge?
Give me that blaster!
No, get one of your own!
Scourge is but one mad warrior!
So, who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation?
Basically, if Megatron put a fusion cannon to your head and you had to choose, who would you choose?
This is going to be a heroic answer so that Megatron can say, such heroic nonsense. As he holds the fusion cannon to my head. Does anyone not answer this as Optimus Prime?
Yeah, actually, Optimus Solo answered it as Cliffjumper for the Autobots. What I've been allowing people to do is pick one from each side. So one Autobot, one Decepticon. He picked Cliffjumper and Soundwave.
Oh, all right. Well, I was actually thinking like Protoman's got Rodimus. And Michael Leif's got Lugnut, so maybe not them, but yeah. I'm going to go with Optimus Prime on the Autobot side, mainly because Optimus Prime was sort of a surrogate father figure, just as he was for tons of other latchkey kids in the 80s. You know, parents are divorced, don't have fathers at home. We come home, we let ourselves in, make our own dinner in the microwave.
Right.
You know, and listen to Optimus Prime be fatherly.
And use the power of the Matrix to light our darkest hour.
There you go.
And they had those great commercials at the end of the shows that, you know, they would teach you about how to live life.
You know, I don't think they had that for Transformers. works, but they should have.
They
weren't very many of them.
Yeah, what he's talking, traditionally most 80s action cartoons for boys had PSAs because...
Well, like G.I. Joe. Well,
yeah.
You know, and knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, two of them, it's not on every episode. It's, thank God it's not on every episode. I mean, Optimus Soul and I have been going over the last five years next year for the Masters of the Universe stuff from Filmation, and wow. 130 PSAs for the He-Man series.
Ugh, yeah, those are pretty good. I mean, once you get over the fact that Orko's a really dumb character.
Anyone want to see some magic?
Yeah, I think you better do your disappearing act.
Sometimes I feel that I am not appreciated. See you later, folks!
Nice car! Should we borrow it?
Nah, that's stealing.
Come on, I'll ask for permission later.
Looks more like you're asking for trouble now.
Trax, I figured I wouldn't get caught.
That still wouldn't make it right. Think how you'd feel if someone took your car.
Pretty lousy.
And if you got caught?
You could end up in jail.
Remember, taking something that isn't yours just isn't right.
It's stealing. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
The Transformers!
Yeah. Shots fired! Shots fired!
Yeah.
He's pork chop crap.
Sandwiches! That's my favorite PSA. Pork chop sandwiches!
That's funny. So, Optimus for the Autobots, who for the Decepticons?
I'm gonna go with Starscream.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow? I didn't have a Starscream either when I was little. I got Starscream. Thrust for some reason.
Starscream's awesome.
Starscream is awesome.
Yep. He is. Certain incarnations, in certain other incarnations, not so much. Yeah, but
definitely
he is.
Not Combiner Wars Starscream. He doesn't. He's not Starscream at all.
Are we riffing on Frank Todaro? Because I like Frank, but
I do. Know, but that voice acting in that series was horrid.
That whole series was awful. The writing was awful. The voice acting was awful.
It was like the wannabe G.I. Joe Renegades.
It was horrible.
I said
at least Renegades
wannabe.
Renegades had the characterizations down. This show was like, wait a minute, Rodimus isn't acting like Rodimus. Starscream isn't acting like Starscream. Windblade, even though she's only been in the comics, isn't acting like Windblade. I mean, it's like somebody wrote Windblade as comic book RC, and somebody wrote Starscream as Beachcomber. It's like, what? How is this even happening? And Megatron is not Megatron. There's no Megatron.
It certainly doesn't sound like him.
Well, that's part of the voice acting. But no, I'm talking about just the script, just the writing.
Oh, I know.
The plot was awful. There was no character development. They just assumed that you knew who these people were, and then they turn right around and display the fact that you didn't know who they were because the writing was so bad. The characterization was terrible. It's like they teased us for a year and a half, and then they give us this giant lump of crap.
It's a crap.
I don't know how Hasbro allowed them to even make this thing.
That's right. They're going to do Titans Return next.
Oh, God. I love how it's like, but there is another. It's like, no. It's a sister.
Oh, God.
It's like, we must keep this enigma of combination away from the combiners at all costs. Oh, here, Victoria, and you can have it. We were just kidding. We didn't mean to lead a full-on assault on the city's capital in order to destroy it for the last five episodes.
Only because Metroplex is like, you've been a bad bot.
So dumb. Well, you know, two episodes earlier, Metroplex is, don't let this happen. And I'm like, don't let what happen? Don't destroy it? Don't let Megatron kill Starscream? Don't let Starscream use it? I have no idea what's going on here. And who the hell is Metroplex anyway? Oh, another character we haven't introduced fully. I mean, you know who he is, right? Yeah, sure, you know who it is.
Yeah, we just saw his arm rise up and, you know.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I'm the master of puppets and I can make combiners move, or I can make Titans move. Okay, Mary Sue. You know, now that you spent two whole episodes attacking Optimus Prime.
Jeez. Why am I now envisioning Metallica's song playing behind this show?
I don't know. Because nothing else matters.
Right.
Ah! All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to fall into that rat's nest. I just watched the last episode today, and I was just
so did I.
Like, what a crappy cap to this crappy series.
The only thing that I enjoyed was, like, I enjoyed the animation style to some degree, but that was about as far as it went.
I didn't like any of it.
I liked the CG of the bots themselves, but, like, the animation part of it where they're actually moving isn't very good.
The backgrounds, the tweening, everything was just bad. I just didn't like it. I was expecting something really cool. Actually, I was expecting like G.I. Joe Renegades. Now that
you
mention it.
I was hoping for that.
I was hoping for it, yeah, because I liked that series. I thought they really breathed new life, like PG-13, if not R-rated life, into these old characters that I liked, and it was like, well, this is really neat. And this series did none of that. I just didn't like it.
It was crap.
But yeah. Anyway, Rat's Nest. I don't even remember what question we're on now.
Yeah, we're on number 7 now. What are some of the other Transformers characters you like?
All of the characters sort of recur over the generations, so it's hard to say which one exactly. I like to see how characters are updated over time. And we just talked about Starscream, so I'll continue. Yeah. I'll always love Starscream. He's a pretty consistent character, except for that crap Combiner Wars series. like I was saying, G1 Starscream is different from Armada Starscream. And Armada Starscream is different from animated Starscream. He goes in a slightly different direction. I mean, they try to stay consistent as an archetype. Archetype?
Archetype, yeah.
Archetype, yeah, there you go. I'm going to have to default to the wiki for that one. But
don't even start. Don't even friggin' start.
But he, anyway, but with Starscream, though, is a little bit different each time. And that's usually due a little bit to the writing and a little bit to the voice actor who is breathing life into the character.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I just like that. So it's hard to say, like, oh, I really like Jazz because, you know, Scatman Crothers is completely different from his animated appearance.
I mean, Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar.
You know, and the funny thing is, when Lupus Convoy and I chatted with Phil Lamar, we asked him, did they want you to do your own thing or did they want you to do Scatman? He said, once you got Scatman in your head, you can't do anything else. And I said something along the lines of, can we hear what your Scatman and he just went into it, and it was just like Scatman Crothers came back to life, people.
Yeah,
it was perfect. Amazing.
I heard that one. It was really awesome. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, because I would have loved to have been able to do a Scatman Crothers. That would have been, you know, Megatron, you're going down. You know, but
again, you know, it's a lot of the voice actor, and to a certain extent, it's the writing, and each character should be, you know, a new experience and something to make you go, oh wow, I really like what they've done with this character. Unless you're Transformers Energon, and
that kind of carries over into question number 8.
Oh, okay, let's get into 8 then.
Are there TF characters that you hate?
I really dislike Rodimus Prime.
I'm going to shoot you now.
It's a pity you Autobots die so easily, or I might have a sense of satisfaction now.
You got the touch! You got the
power! Arise, Rodimus Prime.
Optimus.
Yeah! No. Hey, it is his fault Prime died in the first place. If that little
not only is it his fault that Prime died.
That might be his fault, but his leadership skills
suck.
Bingo.
No.
You spent all of season 3 whining about what would Optimus do. I gotta get Optimus. I gotta save Optimus. I gotta give Optimus back the Matrix. I wanna be Hot Rod. I want Optimus. Wah, wah, wah.
What? Just terrible, terrible character.
And then he didn't get good until Headmasters, and then even then he didn't matter.
You know, I think I skipped Headmasters.
Well, I watched the fan dub. Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Reisai. And I think everybody kind of craps on Wheelie. You know, I mean, I've seen Wheelie evolve over the last couple generations too, and every time they bring up Wheelie, he still kind of sucks a little bit.
Yep.
Exactly. But I don't have an active dislike for Wheelie just because he's annoying.
But you have an active dislike for Rodimus.
The character. You know, and again, maybe I'm just harping on G1, but, you know, there are versions of Rodimus where he never becomes, you know, the leader of the Autobots, where it's like, okay, this isn't so bad. You know, you take Animated, for instance, where you've got a Rodimus, and he's a Prime. Right, I think you're pretty sure he's Rodimus. Yeah, pretty sure he's a Prime.
Yeah, so
you've got Rodimus Prime.
Rodimus to Elite Guard Command. We are under attack. Repeat, requesting backup. We are under attack.
Stay cool, Rodimus, and try to hold out a little longer.
Elite Guard forces are strained to maximum as it is.
Sir, I don't know how long we can keep the cars from the space bridge.
The cars are going after every space bridge on the periphery.
We can't let any of them transwarp to Cybertron.
I can assure you, Commander, that the Cybertron space bridge nexus is fully guarded.
We'll be ready for anything that comes through. Count on it.
Ironhide! Brawn! Transform and fall back! We need to protect the space bridge!
Blackout, you fool! We need the space bridge operational!
Oh, sorry.
Cyclonius, Oil Slick, help Free Spitter and secure the perimeter!
You'll have to get past me first, Deceptor Creeps!
You say that like it's a difficult thing, Autobot.
Cosmic Rust!
And he's pretty cool. He actually comes across as kind of badass until he gets turned into rust. And
Cosmic Rust.
Cosmic Rust. I mean, there's been other Rodimuses. They're actually putting a Rodimus in the next movie, too.
Rodimai?
Yeah.
Rodimai. He's kind of black and orange. I don't think he looks very Rodimus-ly.
It's the car itself is all overall black with red and orange bits on the sides and the front. No.
They call him Hollow Rod. Like Halloween. Halloween Hot Rod.
I thought it was like, hey Rod. He goes, holla.
No,
he's going to now. Michael Bay is going to listen to this, and then he's going to be the
Hollaback Rod. Hollaback Rod.
they're going to have King Arthur slay him.
Oh God.
Well, that's what bothers me is King Arthur is going to slay Optimus, and then Optimus will pass the Matrix onto Hot Rod, and Hot Rod will have to light our darkest hour. Now, how do I know this? Because that's what happens every time.
Hot Rod, your pants are full. Give it to Bumblebee. You waste of space.
Bumble Miss Prime.
Bumblebee Prime.
Give it to Pretzel Cart first. Yeah, speak I'd fucking go for up. You're gonna make me say it, aren't you? You turn into a pretzel cart.
I thought you were made of sterner stuff.
So over your lifetime as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise ever get, did it get stronger or weaker? And 9 and 10 are kind of like almost the same question, but they're not really, because 10 is, was there ever a moment in your life where you just stepped away from Transformers completely?
Let's start with 9 then. Over the years, my interest has risen and fallen. Here, I'm going to get a chart. Watch this. Okay.
Oh, God.
Wait, no, you can't see. This is the wrong medium.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right. Wrong medium. Audio only. People can't see this.
Can't see my stunning PowerPoint presentation here.
No. Okay,
seriously, I loved it as a kid, you know, and then I put all my toys into a box until I was in my 20s. And I suddenly had disposable income, and a friend of mine at work who had Beast Wars Megatron on his desk. And this was Transmetal 2.
You and Steve work together? I didn't know that. You live
exactly.
In
no, you know what's cool is when you get your first job downtown, you know, and you show up in on the 30th floor overlooking Lake Michigan, and the buddy in the cube next to you has Transmetal 2 Megatron. That's a cool job.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. So, so from around 1999 up until Energon, Transformers Energon came out roughly. I liked Armada, but Energon lost my interest. I didn't like the animation. I didn't like most of the toys. To a certain extent, the Armada toys were so-so, like eh. But Armada or Energon really just killed it for me. And I got back in around the tail end of Cybertron and Transformers Cybertron, and then lagged a little bit around the movies in 2008 or so. And
it was animated.
Well, no, I watched animated, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, you lagged until the movies, and I said there was also animated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm currently in a slump again, although I'm very interested in the new Headmaster toys coming out. I don't know how many I'm going to get. Titans Return. I've got a blur here on my desk I haven't opened yet. I'm afraid one of my kids is going to lose his head.
Yeah, that's one thing we have always known about Pecan Court Michael. He buys all these toys and just leaves them in the closet. Never opens them. You could take all those unopened toys to Toys for Tots and make some kids, you know, Christmas really happy.
Make them very happy.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, somebody gave me this 5-year-old Transformer in a box. Why the hell would somebody give me the series from 5 years ago?
Hey,
it's like, sorry, kid. They were just lying. They were lying in a huge pile under my desk, and I had to do something with them. Wait, let me grab something random from underneath my desk here, real quick. This is
That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. This is the Transformers Dark of the Moon Cyberverse Autobot Ratchet Lunar Crawler.
Oh my god.
This is actually pretty cool. I know, I got it on clearance for $11.24.
$11.24 is clearance, really?
Well, it was originally $15. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Alright, well, that's kinda cool. I mean, just random crap from underneath my desk. I got Dark of the Moon toy there. Sure.
Oh, that's funny.
Number 10?
11.
No, I didn't answer 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment in your life when you were through with everything TF? That's a clever question, I'll tell you.
No.
between ages 13 and 23, I think, is when I was completely through with TF. I've been collecting the toys since 1999. Even when I wasn't thrilled with the franchise content, I still kept up with the toys.
And, right.
Yeah. I mean, I learned my lesson after Transformers Energon, because there were lots of late run toys that you just can't find after the series ended. Like Galvatron. I mean, he's a repaint of Megatron, but it's hard to find. And even on eBay, on the secondary market, they're expensive.
That's unfortunate.
It is. Well, you know, like, who the hell wants Energon toys? That series sucked ass. And it did, but, you know, I'm a completionist, and there's still a couple from that series that I don't have. Hmm. Like Galvatron.
Good old Galvatron.
Super Galvatron. Do, 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 do.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Hammer time?
With...
Hammer time.
With... Yeah, no. No, him.
Megatron.
Oh,
Megatron.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. With the internet giving birth to the fans and everyone having a voice about what they like or don't like about Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
Do you shout, let it all out?
I'm still reeling after the thought of the internet giving birth to fans. Like, just breathe, whoa. Internet! Breathe! Whiff, 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 push, push. Alright.
Damn it.
Merry Christmas, damn it.
That's right. I'll answer. You know, honestly, I've never really participated in the fandom. I'm just not social. And I don't interact with people. Aside from, like, podcasting with you guys, I interact with you guys, you know, and... You know, it's funny. I went to BotCon for years. I was at BotCon from, like, 99 until about 2010 before I actually started talking to people there. And it would... No, I mean, I would recognize people. I mean, people I recognize now... you know, they're there every year, and they volunteer every year. And every year I'd see them and go, oh, hey, you know, I know you, but I'm not going to talk to you. I mean, it was like Ben Yi. Every year I saw Ben Yi, and I recognized Ben Yi, but I wouldn't talk to him. Every year I saw David Willis, and I knew David Willis, but I wouldn't talk to him. You know, and it took a while. I think it was like 2010 when I finally said hi to Brian Kilby. And now if we see each other at conventions, we hang out a little bit. But... I mean, it took me a long time to actually communicate with other people in the fandom. So, like, a long time. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, honestly, if I just speak up, and like you said, if you just shout louder, you know, maybe things would be different. I don't know. I was surprised. You know, you'd have upstarts that would pop up and get crazy popular in the fandom, and I'm like, yeah. Hey, I've been here since 1999, you know, I mean, and I guess
as old as RFC.
Oh, older than that, jeez.
No, I'm saying, as far as you keep saying 99, and all I can think of is Brian's slogan for RFC, we're the original Transformers podcast since 1999.
Well, yeah, I remember when Brian was... Yeah, I remember when Brian was doing the podcasting. I mean, you could barely download anything back then.
56K modem, baby.
That's basically what it was. It was crazy. And, you know, I understand why he took the break, you know, because he's just basically waiting for the technology to catch up with what they were doing.
Yeah.
Wasn't he doing regular radio
at the time?
I don't know. I think so.
We can ask him when we have him on.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, it would kill me because it'd be like, wow, you know, I have this huge collection, and if I just took some time out of my busy day and, you know, maybe made YouTube videos or something, I'd have a comfortable side income. You know, I mean, there are people who are doing very well for themselves, as far as I can tell, just doing YouTube videos of Transformers.
Yeah, I know.
And these guys get free toys sent to them. So it's like, why the hell can't that be me? And the you know, and the reason is because I don't speak up, and I never have. I'm content just to be a non-interactive cog in the Transformers fandom.
So you're the missing cog in Metroplex, huh?
Exactly. I like to think of myself as one of Unicron's missing eyes.
Decepticon and Metroplex, they're the same thing. It's all right.
Same old. They each have giant eyeballs.
Yep.
Honestly, I think if you were going to replace Unicron's eyes, it'd probably be like Fort Max's eyes. Because he's got to have huge eyes.
Yeah, but still, by season 3, Fort Max wasn't even a thing yet, so that didn't happen until Rebirth, well, sadly.
Metroplex and Triplicon are like the Gigantors, which doesn't even match Unicron, but...
Yeah.
So Unicron had tiny eyes and a big old eye socket.
Sure,
yep.
Why he had not? Sunken eye syndrome.
His eyes were bigger than his plate. Oh, wait, that's wrong. That's backwards.
Number 12.
Yeah, he didn't have Akbar eyes. What is your favorite Transformers personal anthem song?
My personal anthem song?
So if you had a Transformers personal anthem song, which Transformers song would it be?
I don't know. Which would be my theme song? If there was a guy carrying a boombox on his shoulder behind me at all times, what would be playing out of it? Is that what we're asking?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because that's kind of cool.
if Blaster Soundwave was following.
Exactly. It'd be Twincast.
He went there.
It would be Stan Bush. Yeah. You got the touch! Yeah. That's in my head all the time. It's just like a running soundtrack. It comes out while I'm in the shower or driving my car. Usually when there's no one else but Blanchard around. You know, not that he's in the shower with me. I'm just saying.
No.
We live in different states.
That's
thank God for that.
On so many levels. You got the touch. Blanchard, get out of my bathroom.
You got the power! Yeah!
You don't want to talk to Steve about where that rubber ducky ended up.
That ruppy?
Rubber. I said rubber.
Ruppy ducky, you're the
ruppy
one.
Ruppy ducky.
You make bath time lots of fun.
Oh, yes, ruppy ducky.
Ruppy ducky, you're up inside of me. Also, the theme song and the interstitials to the G1 cartoon are always kind of popping up in my internal monologue. So, you know, like in between the commercials, it would go da 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 da, and you'd have like jazz drive around the Transformers logo, and Transformers start shooting at shit. You know that, and just the Transformer, the original theme song. More than
for me, hearing. Since Entrada Records released the 25-track Transformers the Movie score a couple of years ago, I think it was 2014 actually.
Yeah,
it's 25-track, almost a full score. It's got almost everything from DeCola's instrumentals from the movie. It was the first time I ever heard the coronation music without Starscream babbling on. So, where you see the Constructicons playing the horns, that's actually part of the song. That's not just a sound effect from the Constructicons. And I just absolutely love that song. How often do you go back and watch any of the Transformers cartoons?
Well, the benefit of having children is that you can introduce them to all your old cartoons.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, so my kids were really into Transformers Animated. Well, Aiden in particular. I don't know about Gavin, but Aiden and I watched Transformers Animated together. Aiden really liked Rescue Bots. And then I showed them the Transformers movie with Unicron, not the Michael Bay stuff. And they really liked that too. They've seen that a few times actually because we've got it on DVD.
Well, you're going to have to get it on DVD again because Blu-ray DVD release just came out for 30th anniversary, and it's the clearest picture you're ever going to see.
I'm going to wait for the 3D version.
No, there's not going to be a 3D.
Oh, please. 4K. Tell me.
They're going to have 8K next.
8K and 3D. That'll be awesome, man. I'll take it.
It comes with a cheese sandwich.
In the box. That's why it's in a metal tin to keep that sandwich nice and warm.
God, no. And,
after it's been in a truck from Atlanta, that cheese sandwich will still be bubbly when you open up the tin.
God.
And the CD's in the center.
Salmonella. Yummy.
Number 14.
We all love Transformers comics, so which incarnation do you love and why? You gotta remember, there's been three companies that have had rights to it, too, so...
I know, you know, and the thing is, though, I used to really like comics, but I've never been into Transformers comics. When Transformers first came out, I didn't even know there was a comic series. It was years and years and years before I found out, and by then, it was like, not interested. I remember when Dreamwave started doing their Transformers, and the fan sites were flooded with Pat Lee art. And Lee had a very particular style, but that was the only quality Transformers art out there at the time. So it was real. It was like, this is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, even though now it looks kind of silly, and you know, you look back on his style and go, wow, why are they all big and blocky, and why does he have so many lines, and what's going on with all this stuff? But back then it was really, really cool. You know what I really liked was the Transformers versus G.I. Joe in World War II.
Those were pretty good.
Yeah, that had some great visuals by Jay Lee. And Jay Lee, I really liked Jay Lee back when he was in his prime doing stuff for Marvel. What else? The original War Within series was great.
Mm-hmm.
And it introduced us Dreamwave. To the new Cybertronian forms. Yeah, it was still Dreamwave. Yeah, you know, it was only the first one because I think I want to say who did.
There were three War Withins.
Yeah, exactly. But who did the design for the first one? I think it was. Oh, look it up in the wiki, Blanchard. You know, you wanna. It was
nope, not really.
All right, fine. Who did the design? It was it's right on the top of my head. He's really, really, really good, but. He did the designs, and it was like, okay, cool. We've never seen Cybertronian vehicle modes for most of these characters. We've never seen Cybertronian robot modes. It's like you can make the vehicle mode and have them transform into something that looks like a VW Bug, but that's not right. You know, they should have a Cybertronian alt mode and a Cybertronian robot mode. And this was the first time they'd actually ever done that. And it was just really... I thought it was really cool. I liked it a lot. I bought the first series. After that, I want to say by the time the third series came out, the designs were looking kind of weak. I mean, they were really trying hard to say, oh, this is their Cybertronian alt mode, which looks kind of like a car with no tires. And then just their regular Transformers robot mode is their alt mode for that, or their robot mode. I didn't like that as much, but the original ones were good. It was sort of a precursor to the War for Cybertron alt modes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those a lot better, but that wasn't technically a comic. I want to say those alt modes ended up in the comics just because they were so cool.
I think they did.
Like, War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron. Those were, I mean, I know Fall of Cybertron ended up in the IDW just because.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they went with, but yeah, I like those.
The Dreamwave War Within, right?
Dreamwave, yes, the Dreamwave.
Talking about the so it's Furman and Figueroa.
Yeah, Figueroa did a lot.
Figueroa, yeah, okay, yeah, he did the designs. He's amazing.
I know, he's spectacular. And
he actually did like fan art back in the late 90s. I mean, he was amazing. He did this thing called, what was it called? Like the Never Ending War. That was really, really good. And then when he actually became a Dreamwave artist, it was like, oh yeah, man, you've earned this. My current favorite has to be the More Than Meets the Eye comic series. The writing there is fantastic, and the art is usually pretty good. But I've only read up to the last crossover event. Which I want to say was Dark Cybertron. It had to have been like a year ago.
Yeah, it was Dark Cybertron because Combiner Wars was the next event.
Yeah. See, now I haven't gotten that far. There's a lot of, like, I want to say, I know Megatron joined the Lost Light, and I haven't read those yet. I think I want to say it was like, what, 27 or something was the last one I read? I'm not sure what the number was.
Yeah, 27 was Dark, so the ending to Dark Cybertron, and then 28 started the whole new second season, new journey with Megatron being Overlord of the Lost Light. That's as far back as I can remember, honestly, because I still love the IDW stuff. I loved everything I read up to Dark Cybertron, but I stopped reading it because, I don't know, I just kind of lost interest for some odd reason, but I want to pick it up again sometime next year.
Yeah, I kept telling myself I would grab the trade paperbacks, and I just haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't been at a comic store in a long time, to be honest.
Me neither.
I just get the, whether it's single issue or trade, I just get the trades on Comixology. It's just so much easier.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like newspaper. You know, I like having it in print in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If I manage to get to TFCon in Chicago this year, then you can get them all signed, because apparently they're all going to be there.
Yep.
Like, everyone's going to be there.
Yep.
Crazy.
Well, that's because it's the only Transformers major convention they have for the rest of this year, seeing as how BotCon is no more. All right. How big is your Transformers toy collection? And you can also talk about how it's the only toy collection you have.
I only allow one collection, and there's a reason for that. It's because I own one of each, and if I collected more than one thing, I would have to own one of each of all of that too. And
you'd have to own another house.
Exactly. I'd have to just buy another house. That's how big my collection is.
The only toy that I know he has that is not Transformers.
Exactly.
I sent his wife, Chrissy, I sent her a message for his birthday a couple of years ago. This is years and years ago now.
Like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was 5 or 6 years ago. I'm like, hey, look, these just came to Toys R Us. I know he's technically not allowed any other toys in his collection, but we both love this cartoon, Phineas and Ferb, so it would be really cool if he had this Dr. Doofenshmirtz versus Agent P thing. So,
she got it.
Yeah, she got it.
I still have it on my desk.
Yeah.
Surrounded by thousands of Transformers on my desk.
Yes. Yeah. So under how big desk. Is your collection?
10,000 figures.
Yeah, I've got one of each, except for the Pretenders, since I guess I don't like those. And then there's books and comics and snow globes and party hats and what have you.
Do you have the MicroMasters?
I do. I have all the MicroMasters. Yeah.
Do you have the Action Masters?
Yeah. Oh, I don't like Action Masters. That's right.
They don't transform.
They don't transform.
It's like those. You know,
I have one. I have Jazz.
It's like those 12-inch. Statues that they sell at the toy store now for the Transformer movies.
Yeah.
Kids that don't transform. I'm like, what is the point of a Transformer that doesn't transform?
You know, I think for kids, they're just happy to carry around this thing that's about a third of the size that they are.
My son had all of them. Like, not all of them, but like, and he got them from Grandma, and he didn't like them very much. He wanted Daddy's Transformers because they transformed.
You know, it's funny, on top of my desk, I've got Sideswipe and Steeljaw. And they're 12 inches tall. They don't transform. They look like they're still in a box, but they look like they have like 4 points of articulation. I don't know what the target audience is for these, but they say ages 4 and up. So, more power to them. I don't think they actually sold very well.
Probably not.
Got mine on clearance. I didn't actually buy it. Actually, this was a birthday present. The last two birthdays, I got just a huge stack of Transformers stuff. And the thing is, it used to be really hard to buy stuff for me because I had one of everything already. And the last year or so, especially since Robots in Disguise came out, I really haven't been buying anything. Except for the Combiner Wars stuff. I bought a lot of the Combiner Wars. So, you know, Chrissy and the kids would just go to Target and just buy me all the Robots in Disguise stuff. So I've got, like, piles of it.
At least they didn't go in the back.
Yeah, they didn't break into the store
or anything. You need to retell this story, just so it's right and it's out there, because it's been years since anyone's probably heard this story.
So, To hear Blanchard tell the story, I drove my car through the front doors, straight back to the toy aisle. I jumped out with two machine guns and shot down everything within a 5-mile radius, and then took the toys I wanted and walked home because my car was trashed. That's not really what happened. That's
an exaggeration on your part. I'm trying to put words in my mouth. That's not what I said.
What's funny though is like every time the story's told, it gets a little bit more grandiose. Not quite that grandiose, but
not that quite grandiose.
What happened? I'll tell you what happened is Target. Target it was my go-to store. You know, they're right around the corner. The Toys R Us is too damn far away to go there regularly. Walmart, same thing, you know, but Target's my go-to store. So I go to Target all the time and check for the Transformers. Now, they hadn't restocked in probably about 2 or 3 months. I want to say this was after the Christmas rush. No, it was before Christmas. So they hadn't stocked up for a while because they were waiting for Christmas is what happened. And just before Christmas they get their shipments in and then everything gets filled up. So it was maybe November-ish, I want to say, when I went in, and they didn't have anything on the pegs yet, but they did have a huge pallet of Hasbro boxes, and they all had the Transformers logo. So I was like, I really, really want to know what's in those boxes. You know, and I don't necessarily want to wait for them to open the boxes. So I just started opening the boxes. So I opened them all up, you know, and I was just stacking stuff, pulling things out of the boxes and setting them aside because that's what I wanted. And this lady comes up to me and says, "You can't open the boxes." And I said, "But I did." And then I opened another one. And she said, and she's like, But you're not supposed to. And I'm like, look what I found. I show her this huge stack of Transformers, and I'm like, I'm taking these home. And she's like, just open them all. And I'm like, yeah. You know? And she's like, just go. So at that point, I took all my Transformers, and I went and checked out. And I probably bought like 10 or 11 because they had cases and cases of them. And I was – I really had a serious itch to scratch there as far as Transformers purchases go, because I didn't usually go that long without buying anything.
It sounds like one time I got yelled at because I tried to buy a DVD off the shelf once before it was actually on sale, because they put it on the shelf like 3 hours beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
the street date has an expiration. No, I don't care, man. It's on the shelf.
I was like, it's on the shelf. Like, I'm like, you got 3 shelves full of these. Like, I can't take one and buy it. No, you have to wait until midnight. I was like, you'd be crapping me, man. Like,
yeah, you know, you got to put a tarp over that shit or something. You know, but to hear Blanchard tell the story,
looks like you went in with an armored convoy and then
exactly
just took all the boxes.
Well, honestly, as grandiose as it got, it's basically I came in a stealth suit, you know, like total ninja gear, and snuck into the back room. And on the top of the highest shelf, you know, I climbed up there and tore open the wrapping on a pallet of toys, and then sneakily grabbed all the ones that I wanted and snuck out the back door. You know, and
all of these at the time were what, animated toys?
A lot of them were animated, yeah. I want to say a lot were animated, and there was other stuff somewhere, like on my blog that I haven't touched in like 4 years. You know, there's a story about it, but yeah, I think a lot of them were animated.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, because that was right around the time when Derek J. Wyatt said something about, "Hey, guys, go to Target, $5 Shockwaves with Bumblebee." And I'm like, wait, what? I actually walked Target that day that he tweeted that, and I'm like, hey, cool, $5 for a Transformer, great. That's a clearance. From $15 to $5, that's a clearance. From $15 to $1,
somebody got fired over that. That's a sale. Somebody got fired over that. I mean, that was I bought like 6 of them. I went to different Targets and bought a bunch of them. They're in the closet somewhere still. Yeah, I had a bunch.
Number 16, Steve.
Number 16 is what is the one Transformers toy you could never part with, ever?
Just one?
Yeah, so if you're, well, let's say, for example, not that this would happen, but let's say an unforeseen circumstance would happen that your basement flooded and you could only save one Transformers toy. Who would that be and why?
Oh, my basement flooded. Yeah, it would suck. I don't know. Maybe Fort Max. So if my house is on fire, I'm throwing that one out the window. So wife, kids, and Fort Max. Maybe not
Wait,
in that order.
What about the dogs and the cats?
They'll figure it out.
You can get another cat. You can't get another Fort Max.
Exactly. You know, it's what it comes down to is Fluffy's great, and we all love Fluffy, but we can get a new Fluffy. You can't get another Fort Max. You know, if this thing melts in a fire, I'm never going to be able to replace it. You know, and that's kind of a funny answer, but at the same time, I've got two Fort Maxes now, so I would be hard-pressed to decide which one I would throw out the window. Because I've got a plan
in place and have a fireproof box that you store them in.
Well, that's about it. You know, I need to install, like, foam, fire retardant foam in the ceilings that just sprays down on my collection. And that would serve the dual purpose of putting out fires and dusting. Because, you know, honestly, who wants to dust? You got this much shit. Who wants to dust all this stuff? I don't want to do it.
Speaking of your collection and how you have it displayed, why don't you tell everybody what you did a few years ago with your shelves and your... The way you have it set up now.
Remind me, what did I do?
How you got that set up. What you have currently with the setup with the cabinets.
My shelving units? Oh, this is more than a few years ago. This was right around the time my son was born, I want to say. We were having the basement redone. And in my office, my wife has an office, and I have an office downstairs. And... In my office, I had oak shelving units put in, and they're 6 foot tall and 2 feet deep and about 12 feet across, you know, and each one is there's four of them, and each one's about the size of a refrigerator, like an industrial size refrigerator. And yep. And I can attest to this because I was sitting inside each one of them doing the staining. As I stained it. I did. I stained and polyurethaned all the oak, including the insides. And then the contractors put them in and put the doors on. And I ordered the doors to have, what's that locks. Fake glass called? What's the, no, they're locked. Yeah, they have
plexiglass.
Locks.
Plexiglass.
So there's a plexiglass on the doors, and there's locks on each one. And then on the very end, I've got a little, like, utility cabinet that has the light switches in it, so all of the top lights, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I got 6 shelves, but the top two have plexiglass bottoms, and then the bottom two have plexiglass bottoms, and there's lights in the top and the middle, so I can turn on the lights and they'll shine down through the, well, if they're not completely packed, in which case many of them are, but the light will shine down through each level down to the bottom. It's neat.
Essentially what he tried to do, folks, was he tried to light his darkest hour.
Yeah. But you know what I found out, though, is that 2 feet is way too deep. I mean, shelves are usually about a foot deep, and the guys in the back, you can barely see. Even with the lights on, it's like, oh man, these aren't displayed very well because they're all standing on top of each other. And
that means you just have to rotate them out every so often. The guys back in the front.
It means
the front.
You need a really good fight scene.
Exactly.
So the guys are down.
I couldn't imagine how big the fight scene is. Yeah. So anyway, 2 feet deep, 6 feet tall, 12 feet across, standing room only for my figures. I got a lot of guys.
Just off, seat your heart out.
The what?
Devtoss, eat your heart out.
Devtoss.
The IKEA shelves.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing that bothers me is the way that I have these displayed is that the doors are all closed and locked, so it's not really conducive to me just grabbing one off the shelf and playing with it. That's why I have my IKEA shelves on the other side of the room. So I've got these are like 2x4 cubes that you get at like Target, you know. And each one has one of those folding fabric container units that you and my wife bought me a bunch of those to surprise me because I was running out of space on my shelves over on my little cubicle shelves. So yeah. She bought these containers and you know, fabric foldy cube containers and just dumped them all in. And so now my toys aren't really on display anymore on these cubicles, right? They're just dumped into a container and the container's shoved in there. So the idea here is if my boys want to play with what's in the red one, power core combiners, they can pull out the power core combiners bin off the, you can hear him. This kills me every time because it's like, these should be in a museum. And instead they're in a bin on a shelf. Then they
power core combiners should be in a museum. Who said that?
Power core combiners are awesome.
Okay, they might be a cool toy, but they're not museum worthy.
All right, fine. I'm just saying, you know, they should be on display, not so much, you know, in a bin.
Army men, yeah,
they should be in a bin. They should be on display.
What was the most money you ever spent on a Transformers toy item over the years?
Probably Fort Max. I got a really good deal on him, though. He was maybe $300. He's out of the box. He's missing one of his big blue guns, but I got a really good deal. I got a complete Triptychon and a metal-chested Predaking together for like $350 once. But, cool. Yeah, but that was for both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about like one Transformer, then it's probably, you know, Fort Max. But I mean, pretty much any time I go to BotCon, I'll drop about $1,000. And this last one, I probably dropped two. And that's like nothing compared to like what other guys spend. You know, I know like Thorazine, you know, he... Where did I see him? I think it was last year's TFCon Chicago. I saw him, yeah. and you know, we didn't talk about so much what we bought or what, but you know, afterwards he was tweeting about stuff that it was like, holy crap, that had to cost like $1,000 by itself. Yeah. I mean, you know, he bought some really expensive stuff. I was surprised.
He's probably, if I can get him, he's probably going to be one of the other interesting guests we're going to have on this thing because him and his obsession with Seekers, oh my God.
Well, he had a Seeker obsession. He had everything.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Does he still have everything?
No. He last year when I talked to him, he was swapping out. He was selling a lot of his Seekers. He was swapping them out for other stuff that he wanted. But he was buying, I don't remember exactly, but I want to say it was like Transformers Victory stuff from Japan. Stuff that's like $1,000 in the box, you know, just ridiculous stuff.
That stuff's expensive.
And I mean, I bought my Brave Max, I want to say for $250 in the box. And I was like, wow, that's a really good deal. I bought something huge. And the two of us were walking out together out to the cars, you know, on our way out. And I got this big ass Ford, you know, Brave Max in the box. And I was like, wow, this is my last big purchase. I think I probably spent like over a grand, you know, with this, probably maybe $1,500 this weekend. And he didn't say anything, you know. I mean, he's just like, wow, that's really cool, you know. He wasn't like, look what I got, you know. But after the fact, I saw a bunch of stuff that he was talking about, and it's like, holy crap. Oh, you know what, no, that was the last BotCon in St. Charles. They said it was Chicago, but it was actually St. Charles. It's about as far away from Chicago as you can get and still call it Chicago. But I saw him there. That's when I bought the Brave Max, and I was like, what'd you get? You know, a couple of things. I probably spent more than I should. Oh, really? Wow, you're going to get in trouble with the wife. Yeah. Ha, ha. And then after the fact, it was like, holy crap, he bought that? Wow. I mean, there are some people whose collections put mine to shame, but not many.
There's only one that I can think of.
Who?
Just guess. He's Canadian.
Arsenal or Proto Man?
Yeah, good old Proto Man. Proto Man's collection put almost anyone's to shame.
He's got a really neat collection, but I want to say he's centralized. You know, he collects like rare Rodimus stuff.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. He's got a lot of stuff, but I mean, he's got some really amazing Rodimus stuff.
Oh yeah.
Who else? You know, and I want to say, like, Pia probably has a bunch of really nice stuff, but they give him shit. You know, they take all this shit for free. And I'm like, how do you get a gig like that? That's amazing.
All right. Number 18 is going to be very decisive here. So, Steve, take it away.
Do you like or loathe the Bayverse, or are you indifferent to it?
Oh, man. I'm indifferent. I gotta say, I'm kind of comfortably numb at this point. There's just been so many. I really hated the designs at first, but they've gotten better over the years. At this point, the robot modes are basically human, and the stories, if you can call it that, are ridiculous mishmashes of old G1 cartoon storylines. You know, the second movie is just painful to watch. It's just bad, 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 bad. But at the same time, if it keeps the franchise popular and viable for the next generation, then, you know, I'm all for it. Bring on more movies. I'm sure every time a Michael Bay movie comes out, I'm going to be the first one to complain about it. But I saw the first movie at the... was it the 2007 or 2008 BotCon?
2007.
2000, yeah. That's and I mean, I saw it there with a whole bunch of other Transformers fans at BotCon. And, you know, everybody was like, yay! You know? And it's like everybody cheered at the right times and, you know, they laughed at the right times, and we were all on the same page. But then the minute you go to see that movie with non-Transformers fans, it just makes you cringe and go, ugh, you know, because nobody's cheering with you. Nobody's laughing with you. And everyone's just kind of like, why did I pay money to see this? Because this doesn't jive at all with what I remember.
I listen to a podcast called, every now and then I listen to it when I catch something that I want to hear them rip on. It's a podcast called Tranquil Tirades. They essentially review bad movies, or what they feel to be bad movies. Mm-hmm. They've gone through all four of them, and each of those podcasts is over 3 hours long because they go into detail of why things are wrong with those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So... if you could create,
I was hoping for your guys' take on it. I'm waiting for Steve to go, oh God, I hate Michael Bay.
Steve,
I'm not a fan, but I will watch them as forgettable popcorn movies. Mm-hmm. But I don't care for them overall.
I haven't even shown my kids.
Don't wait till they're older.
My kids
can appreciate how bad it is, you know.
Yes, wait until they're older. Wait until they can appreciate how bad. For me, I like them. Well, only one I don't like is Revenge of the Fallen. The first movie was pretty awesome, seeing Optimus and, you know, and hearing Peter Cullen and all that. And the third one was all right. I think they went a little too Spock with Sentinel, but it was Nimoy, so, you know, there you go.
Boy, yeah.
The fourth one was... fourth one for me was a breath of fresh air because no Shia LaBitch, thank God. And I know it's not his fault, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. He's still a bad actor.
Yeah. But we do get Optimus Prime straight up murdering Frasier. So, you know, like, die, Frasier!
You know, go back to your radio show.
Exactly.
Scrambled eggs.
It's like, so, Peter Cullen, how exactly do you feel about the bloodthirsty nature of your movie counterpart? Oh, they're all the same characters. Like, shut up, Peter! You know, he just collected a paycheck, man. Killed my childhood.
The only thing I really, like, aesthetic-wise did not like about Age of Extinction was that super-fast Transformium bullshit. Oh, my God.
Did they make it out of unobtainium?
It's like watching a really, really giant, horribly twisted slinky go back and forth. Oh, yeah. God.
You remember when Transformers Animated came out and people were like, I don't like the Tasmanian devil transformation. You know? That's how I felt about that when it's like they're not really transforming. They're kind of disassembling and reassembling into a different form. It's not transformation. It's not like the car is jumping and turning and twisting and shifting its pieces together into a new form. It's literally they're disintegrating and reintegrating into something else. And that was a turnoff.
Pretty much. If you could create any kind of Transformers fiction, whether it be a toy, a comic, a story, a cartoon episode, a cartoon series, whatever, what would it be? What story would you want to create with it and why?
I am not creative. If I could tell a story about Transformers, it would be, I don't know, something obscure, like the adventures of the rescue bots before they got stasis locked in space. So, you know, you change them up a bit and trade in some background characters and something like that. You know, put them on a bigger ship with more guys. With their backstories and how they play off different personalities and maybe look into what happened to all the other Transformers rescue groups. Because you know, there used to be more, and Prime was like, I didn't realize there were any out there. And, I mean, honestly, there could be like a bounty hunter picking them off. You know, like a bounty hunter just going, you lockdown versus Heatwave. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
That would be fun. Yeah, you know. We'll get we'll get it animated. We'll have Steve Bloom come in. You know, it would be sweet. Steve Bloom and Lance Henriksen. Aw, yeah.
Yeah, that would be kind of sweet.
See, now I am creative. I take that back. Yeah. This would be cool. This should happen.
Yes, yes, it should. All right, number 20, Steve.
Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
Heck yeah. Well, not for Transformers, actually. I kept all my Transformers in a box because that was the last toy collection I had. So they stuck around. My mom would just assume that I didn't want toys that I stopped playing with. So when I stopped playing with He-Man to go to Transformers, those toys disappeared. Yeah, I had a lot of He-Man. I had like a steamer trunk full of He-Man. I had Castle Grayskull and Point Dread, and I had Snake Mountain. I had probably 20 of the figures and maybe a dozen of the vehicles in this big old steamer trunk. It was maybe 3 foot by 4 foot. It was this huge trunk that opened up, and I had taped like shelves in there to set all my guys on. It was really cool. And then I started playing with Transformers, and it disappeared. And prior to that, yeah, exactly. Prior to that, was my Star Wars collection, which disappeared when I started playing with He-Man. And the Star Wars, my Star Wars collection started when I was like 4 or 5. And when Star Wars first came out, I had all the vehicles. I mean, I had the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter and the Sand Speeder. Not the Sand Crawler. I didn't have that. But I had, like, the Speeder.
Yep.
What do they call that thing?
Sand Speeder.
The Sand Speeder? It, like, hovered, right? So
yeah, this thing, yeah.
Yeah, I had that. And then, you know, it just kind of went on from there. I had a lot of Star Wars toys. And those disappeared. And I want to say at one point my mom like sold them in a garage sale for like $40 or something. Yikes. And yeah, you know, I would have loved to have those. You know, my Star Wars figures would have been great to have as an adult. The He-Man too, for that matter, would have been awesome. I mean, there's been times when I've seriously thought about going back and like buying the He-Man and saying, you know, there's probably only what 50 or 60 of them. I could buy them. I could buy those.
They're extremely just don't even just no stick with Transformers, man. They're extremely expensive for a lot of those old ones. Yeah,
I can imagine. Yeah, you know what's funny is I'll see them at garage sales and they'll be like Stinkor, you know, and he doesn't have his weapons and he doesn't have his chest harness, you know, and he doesn't smell anymore. It's like, you know, just this black and white colored He-Man with a mermaid head or the merman head, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they all had the same body basically. And yeah, it was like merman colored in skunk colors, but you know, it was, when I was little, it was like, wow, this is my new favorite toy because he smells funny. Or Mossman, who's basically Beastman with green frocking all over him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, this is the coolest toy ever now. And it was just always a gimmick, and I really enjoyed them. And I kind of wish I still had them. It's kind of like how I felt about Transformers in my 20s, you know, where it's like, I could own all of the combiners that I wanted when I was little, you know, and... And that's where it started.
All right. Final question, number 21. What is one piece of advice that you would give the Transformers fans or the Transformers collectors at large?
Collectors. Don't have kids. Too late, Steve.
Yeah. That's all right. I can't afford to be a collector.
There you go. That's the problem. Before I had a wife, I spent a lot of money on Transformers, and my collection got huge. And well, the takeaway here isn't not to get married, though, since my wife would also buy me stuff. You know, she would. Well, she has her collections, and they've changed over the years, whereas mine have not changed. But you know, I would get her stuff for her birthday or for Christmas that related to her collection, and she would get stuff that would relate to my collection. And sometimes I'd have to tell her, you know, I don't have this or I don't have this or these are the things I'm looking for. And, you know, it'd take a little doing, but she'd give me something really neat. And then eventually
she'd have a whole catalog. I remember when we first started talking, you showed me one of your website posts where you had this whole list of what you had and what you didn't have.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Well, there's a funny thing. I had like an Excel spreadsheet that I could export to the website, and I don't think it's still visible anymore, but from the website, but yeah, I had like a spreadsheet, and then she could look at it and go, oh well, this is what I would buy. And and that lasted for a while, but yeah, the takeaway here isn't don't get married, because you know, wives are awesome, but you know, we were young and we had disposable income, and we just bought crap. Kids eat your disposable income.
Yes, literally, yes, they do.
Literally, because you have to feed them, and they're expensive. So, you know, once you have kids, you can't buy as much stuff. So that's my advice to collectors: don't have kids.
All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us here on All Things Transformers. This episode was recorded while – it's actually being released while I'll be on vacation out in California to see my fiancée, Jen. We will have another new episode somewhere around October 20th or so. Steve, any final words before we close it out?
No, that was just great catching up and rediscovering some of the things that we may or may not have known about you over the years.
Oh, you knew all that stuff
already. I know.
But, yeah. It's been a while since we've actually done a podcast together.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It wasn't the Star Wars thing, was it?
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning of this. I don't remember last time you were on this show with Steve and I, or when you were on any other show with the rest of the GCR. I don't remember when it was.
It was a while back.
Yep. All right, folks, you can follow at All Things TFV3 on Twitter. You can follow myself, TF2 and Mike, at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Michael?
Pecan Court Michael.
All right. Transform, roll out, transform, transcend. The seeds of the future are lied buried where?
In the past.
In the past?
Yeah,
in my ass. Sorry.
That's there you go. Out.
Yeah.
That was the proper answer.
He's unleashed inside you.
You're in warriors. Wow, it has been so long since we've actually got to riff humorously in such a way. Yeah. We actually
the old jokes are the best that. Jokes. Yeah. Would you like some wine with that wine?
Tip your
no
wafers.
Thanks. I've got plenty here. Good.
I think this podcast has been very Autobot-ly.
there's been little to you're right. Yeah. Anyway.
Maximization of this humor can go no further.
Exactly.
This is bad sodomy.
Lubrication Starscream. This is bad sodomy.
Hey, that was fun!
By the cruel Decepticons, the slaughter is directed by the evil Megatron. This metal robot Stalin only has one equal foe. So ready up your battle cry, it's time to let him know.